was given to Mrs. Emma Goodman on November 11th and on November 14th, 1974. Mrs. Goodman was born in 1994 and came over to the United States in 1912 at the age of 18 from Russia. She lived with her sister at that time, and she became immediately active in the United Neckwear, Neckwears, and remained there for 10 years. In 1920, she came over to L.A. and became very active in the International Women's Garment Union, and did that for another 30 years, at which time she went into the Local 58 and became the first woman business agent in the city of Los Angeles, and remained there until she retired. She is widowed and lives at 1261 South Spalding, Los Angeles, California. Her telephone number is 937-4187. I am Helen McKay and interviewed Mrs. Emma Goodman, who still goes under that name and does not go under her maiden name, which was Ms. Emma Hochfetter, H-O-C-H-F-E-T-T-E-R. Now, yeah, it is. Now it's working fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me just backtrack just a little. This will just take a few minutes because we haven't gone very far. You had come over from Russia in 1912, and you came to New York, right? Oh, go ahead. All right, and you were living with your sister. Okay, and you spoke what?
Yiddish
at the time. And Russian. Okay, my grandmother had come from Russia too. Speaks Yiddish. I know, I speak it a little, but I was laughing because we used to tell her to speak English all the time too, because she's going to live here. Okay, now, at the age of 18, what was that union you went into?
United Neckwear-Makers Union.
Okay, and how long were you in that?
10 years.
10 years. And you became really active.
Very much so, yes.
Okay.
And I was about to tell you about the arrest. That was so funny. Of course, we were arrested on the picket lines in our weapon there, the combat and scabs. Whether the tomatoes were too expensive. The whole Mexican, that was our weapon. And me not being, I wasn't meant to be a baseball player. What do you call the one that throws the ball? A catcher?
The pitcher.
Or the pitcher. I wasn't meant to be a pitcher. Instead, hitting this cap, it struck a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And the egg splashed all over him. So of course, a lot of us were arrested in they called the Black Mariah. You know what the Black Mariah is.
Yes.
The police wagon. Yeah.
Was this in L.A.? This was still in New York.
This was still in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I could understand the English there. So the policeman says, now listen, you don't know how to throw eggs. You don't squeeze the egg. Yeah. You put the egg in your palm. And you keep it loosely, and you throw it. So he gave me a lesson how to throw it.
Did you actually get arrested?
Oh, yes.
Was that
oh,
for
yes.
picketing? What were you picketing? For what?
Better
wages?
Better wages, shorter hours, all the works. Sure, we were picketing shops that were on strike.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, were you an organizer yourself?
I was not an official organizer, not in New York, not in the network. In fact, we were all organizers.
Mm-hmm.
Every active worker was an organizer.
Oh, were women voting then?
Oh, no. The vote came in, I think, in 1920.
Well, in L.A. it was in around 1911.
Oh, but at some states.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean nationally.
Yeah, in 1920.
Yeah.
And were you active in that?
Yeah.
The suffrage movement?
Oh, the suffrage movement there, see, there was one Rose Schneiderman, she was very active.
Yeah, she wrote a book.
Yeah, in the Women's Trade Union League, yeah. We used to get up there and meet with her. And then we had on 14th Street, the Rand School. It was just like a labor college there. The active members used to go there, and we were taught by many, Algernon Lee, and at one time he was a congressman.
What was his name?
Algernon Lee.
Okay. And this was still in New York?
This was still in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So finally I came here. I got married here. I didn't work for a while till I raised the children. Then I joined the International Ladies Garment Workers Union.
How old were you then? You know, do you remember? Well, your children were grown, right?
Yeah, about 35 or so about, because when I could leave them. And I became active.
And your husband, was he active?
My husband was, he belonged to the Teamsters. Oh. Don't hold it against
me. Oh, no, okay, we won't. I mean, did you have, like, conflicts with your politics and his?
Oh, no, he was a very radical man.
In fact,
he was an anarchist.
Oh, really?
You see, he was a very radical man.
Well, you wouldn't consider yourself an anarchist?
No. Sometimes we used to argue about this. You know, they did not believe in, there were no chairmen at their meetings, so it was chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they had to come to order, to establish order. They changed a lot. Their motto was not to become American citizens. They are citizens of the world. But then, many anarchists came, but we live in this country. How can we improve it if we haven't got a vote? By terror, we wouldn't do it.
You were fighting for the vote then?
Yes.
You too. Were you picketing? Were you picketing when you...
Oh, yes. We picketed senators and congressmen that we wanted them to vote for it when it came out nationally.
Was that here in L.A.?
This was in New York. When I came in L.A., it was passed by the Congress and Senate. It was internationally granted already.
But you didn't keep. I mean, you didn't stop there. It doesn't seem, you know, like with really women's rights in 1920. After we got the vote, most women stopped and said, "Well, that's it. That's all we want."
There were labor problems.
That's right. But very few women were aware of it, and very few women have been written up, and that's why we're so interested in it. You know.
All right. A vote. In effect, after a few years, everybody thought as soon as the women get the vote, oh, there's going to be paradise, and they went conservative.
That's right, exactly. And so were you fighting against
people
that?
People fighting against the people, enough of the conservatives, that's literally speaking, reactionary, they went with their votes.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, just women having votes, you know, doesn't just get them into medical school or law or professions. Even today, you know, we're still fighting for the same rights that you're fighting then.
Oh.
So what? When you had your children, though, you just stopped all activity.
Yeah. No, I went to meetings.
You still did.
Yeah, we did go to meetings. Okay. You know, there is a Jewish organization, they call it the Workman's Circle.
Is that in here?
It's all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the Workman's Circle, it was a time in its early period, if one was not a socialist, they wouldn't take a meeting.
Do you think you consider yourself a socialist? And even today, now?
Today, I consider myself a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. In fact, from where did Roosevelt get his idea unemployment?
Mm-hmm.
From the socialist movement.
Roosevelt.
also there's unemployment, you know, so their pension,
let's
retirement from the socialist movement.
Well, and the socialist movement is still trying, but let's, you know, let's, I wanted to ask you, like, war, well, if you were, you know, part of the socialist movement, were you pro-war?
I was before pro-war, the first World War. We knew that Germany is the cancer in the world; they have to be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Before for war,
even were you World here War then? II. You weren't here during World War
I.
No,
I was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I was in New York.
And still in New York. That was around 1912.
No, the war started in 1914.
Yeah.
Yes. And it ended.
How did that affect your life? Because you had just come over. And
we consider this war a liberation war. We thought the labor movement and the socialists and the anarchists, the anti-radical movement, they realized the danger of German militarism.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to defeat it.
And what, through the unions or just
through the unions?
Is that when you were arrested?
Helping with money.
Uh-huh. Is that when you were arrested?
No, I was arrested for picketing a shop.
I see. When they arrested women, they kept you in separate cells?
They arrested us in the car, and then by the time we came there, the union officials came and bailed us out.
I see. You were now I'm just like getting the background, and so what I wondered also was, you had gotten married, you had children, and you have two daughters, and would you consider them socialist now too, or
one is very
active,
just like
you have one daughter who's in Washington?
Yes.
And she's very active?
A little. Oh, she's clever.
Yeah, this is a very bad picture. Of course, she's a very pretty woman. Yeah.
Okay, well, I will. Can I, but I'd like to go on with the thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. We were interested in World War I and World War II. I know. There was a difference between women at that time who were progressives and women who were considered
radical. Well, it's all over. Some women, that they thought a woman has to stop here. Mm-hmm. She has limits. There she can go. Otherwise, she will not be attractive. She'll use her femininity and this and that. And the other said, to hell with it. We want to be human beings.
We want to be.
Yeah. And they went ahead. It isn't anything new.
Did they change their dress and their attitudes? And
They gradually, I'll tell you what changed the dress. War.
The war did? Why?
First of all, materials were scarce. They needed it for the army. So dresses began to get shorter. There is always an economic cost, even in style, whereas people don't know it.
Well, people are more aware of it now, I guess.
And then they cut their hair. That was in World War.
Did you have long hair?
Oh, I had curly hair up to here.
And when you got it cut, did people?
No, they got used to it. They accepted it because many young girls, because it was so easy to take care. And it's a war changes style.
All kinds.
The long hair. No, I remember in Russia. You know, they could tell a prostitute by smoking.
Yeah, now. But, well, when you came here, did you smoke? Did you ever?
I never cultivated a taste for it. Neither smoke or drink.
You know, in the trade unions in the time, in the 1920s when you were involved, they were more radical, I think, than they are now. Do you agree? Because you're still active.
I'll tell you, there was an urge, a need to get something, to strive. So they were more radical.
Mm-hmm.
The unions came in and they helped to organize shortened hours, better wages. One generation prepared for the other.
The women's movement was stronger than the men's at the time. Well, those were the people who were really working.
Yeah, that's what the working people. No, I wouldn't say the women's movement was strong. The man, it's still the woman has
mm-hmm.
had to take care of the house and the children, and she was limited.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have the freedom. Even World War II liberated the woman an awful lot.
Because it got her out of the house?
Out of the house, into the assembly line.
Mm-hmm.
And there she learned that she can make sometimes earn more money than her husband. And he wasn't the Lord and Master anymore. What do you think they fight?
That's it. I interviewed a woman, and she had come over from Germany. And she said that women always could get work, and during the Depression, now, during the Depression, men can't.
It's amazing. The question works for law of ages.
And that's what you were fighting against.
Cut them out of the livelihood.
Yeah, it's still going on, though, you see.
Yes.
So that's
sure, a woman could get the job sooner because the pay are less.
Well, let's see, what was it? What else was there? Labor movement. Well, up until the labor movement, women had been ignored, though. They had just been used.
Oh, yeah, sure. Women was used.
But, do you think women were focusing on other needs when they were fighting in these unions other than economic?
Well, it was the sexual liberation, too.
You needed to speak. I'd like to talk about the sexual
sure.
revolution.
Sure.
Because
sure. Oh, goodness gracious. A woman that had intercourse prior to marriage was damaged goods. This is how they looked upon her. Although a man could get married and bring syphilis to his virgin 18-year-old wife, so this was accepted.
And you were partially fighting against that as well.
Of course we were fighting. He had complete control. And then we were brought up, especially it was more rigid amongst in the Jewish families.
Mm-hmm. It may still be.
Yes.
But, well, what about birth control?
Then came Margaret Sanger,
mm-hmm.
Emma Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
They were the pioneers of birth control.
Mm-hmm. And they thought, well, women should have
sure.
the right.
Yes.
But I think what we were discussing, that abortions and certain means of birth control were being used anyway by certain women at that time.
I think the only birth control that was available was the condoms for men. That's all.
Because we have something called a pessary or something. Did you ever hear of that?
Yeah, I heard about it. And then it caused very much pain and sometimes bleeding to insert this into the womb. It didn't.
So there was just really no way.
No way. So that's all.
And, well, they did have midwives, I think, or you'd have to make up some kind of excuse if you had an abortion. I'm not sure.
And it was illegal. You had to pay undercover money to have an abortion. Doctors were put to jail. Recently, they had it, although some countries had it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so not everybody could go to another country and have an abortion.
No, but you can afford it.
Yeah.
Well, also, I don't know whether it was after the war or before. I'll have to check into that. But, you know, women, there was a shift from women as domestic laborers into the professions, you know. Did you see that, too, while you were working in the...
I'll tell you, from domestic labor into a profession, it isn't just one jump.
Mm-hmm.
It is...
No. Education.
You need education. You have to... They were preparatory schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you can't just go in, even now, it's the same problem. Of course, discrimination. So I remember my sister had a son, very brilliant. I think he graduated high school at the age of 17.
Mm-hmm.
And he being a Jew, they wouldn't accept him into a medical school. It was even at that time.
Still discrimination.
Yes, the quota. So many, many. But they are trying, they accept. Some of them are not against minorities being accepted into professions, but at least they know how to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I that was probably, well, I would say that it has there's a little bit of leeway now, but you're still fighting quotas. Well, it's our economic system.
Jews into the universities, it was a quota under the Tsar, and it's a quota here too.
Did you find any distinctions between, this is a little bit back to the other subject, the suffrage movement and the feminists themselves, like a clash? You know, because I heard the suffragists, some of them, were very mid-Victorian. Whereas if you were, you know, a feminist, you more likely were a socialist.
No, a feminist, she did not want to give up her role amongst men, has to be put on the pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main idea.
I see.
Yes.
And, let's see, you were in New York. Was there a Greenwich Village?
Okay.
Were you involved in that movement in the Greenwich Village? Was that very radical? Or was it, what was that? You know about it?
At that time, they called it promiscuous.
Yeah, I see. That was the Grand, why?
Why, I'll tell you. New York, I think, was the first city. I remember when I came to a meeting, to a socialist meeting, I seen in a corner a Negro man kissing each other. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The Greenwich Village, although I am a very liberal woman, I don't believe in discriminating. I have a friend coming here. Listen, we can cut it short while she is here. Let's do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can I wait?
Okay. Well, Schmeidelman was primarily active in the Human Space Union League.
Did you know of Pauline Newman?
Oh, yes, I knew her very well. She was also a friend of Rose Schneiderman.
Mm-hmm. This was in New York?
New York.
And they were active in the strikes?
Active in the strikes and the Independence Trade Union League, and also they were suffragettes. Woo-hoo.
They were, what do you mean by they were suffragettes?
They were very strong for women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what about Mary Goth?
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. Let's see. I think we were talking about the war also, and there had seemed to have been supposedly a shift before or after the war between women's movement. Do you like, it was like around 1919, it was like a Red Scare. There's a Palmer's Rage and things like that.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, it was scared too.
And what happened? I mean, it supposedly like there was a whole different changeover.
Sure did, yeah. They just, the one didn't look right. They arrested him.
Mostly, wasn't it immigrants because of the Russian Revolution?
The Revolution, in 1917, the Russian Revolution occurred.
Mm-hmm. And yes. So, well, how did that affect the movement here?
Terrific. There were many in sympathy for it and quite a few against it because many have seen the danger in dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. So, and what was your, you know, active role?
As far as the revolution, I sided with those that realized the danger of it.
Mm-hmm.
In effect, Lenin and Trotsky and all of them, they promised the people freedom, but they betrayed them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's see. We know that you were really active, you know, politically and in these unions and things. What's your private life like?
Well, my private life, luckily, my husband was very a class-conscious person.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not interfere. He went to his meetings. I went to my meetings. So it was no disruption.
Okay.
And I remember when did you read the article that was written about my daughter?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to relax it now mm-hmm. yet, but I would like to, and then
all
I will
right,
get it back.
You can have it for a while, and
okay.
You'll give me that.
And but she's still fighting for women's rights.
Oh, this was just lately I got it, about a week ago
mm-hmm.
from Seattle.
Yeah, I noticed the date.
Yes.
Let's see.
I remember when she was about 6 years old, we went downtown. At that time, the drugstores, they were on strike and they were picketing. In all her life, she heard strikes if we shouldn't cross a picket line. I had to have something and I forgot all about it. And I said, Clara, let's go in drugstore. She says, Mama, there are pickets here.
Well, there was like after 1920, you know, women, and I think we had discussed this before, just decided, well, we had gotten the right to vote and everything. And then there was a push to get women back into the homes and out of the factory.
All the time. Yeah, but the way we have spoken before, a war is cruel. War is inhuman. But it has certain aspects that some people gain, the women gain. They were liberated by the First World War and also by the Second.
Because it got them out of the house?
They needed workers. If they began to work and earn wages, so the man wasn't the supreme lord and master in the house
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I was thinking, what did that actually do for women, though? You got into the jobs, but the conditions were terrible. So,
but they helped. They fought conditions. And nobody expects everything to improve 100%. But it started rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It created dissatisfaction amongst them. And this was good.
Okay, well, you know, I think it was after the war, they women were working and they put women back in the house and then they started pushing women to buy things, you know, like consumerism, like buy.
Well, I don't know if they, just as the president says now, don't buy these, get a loan as little as you can and save money, you know, that's all baloney. Yeah.
Well, our problems are economic.
Absolutely. The cause of all evil is the economic problem.
And let's see.
They wanted women to work at that time. They worked for less money until lately.
And you think it's improved now? Are you still fighting for that right now?
It's improved.
What do you do?
I'll tell you, I'm not as active now in the women's league as there are some aspects that I think they are ridiculous too.
Like what?
A woman will always bear the children. They can't change this biological act.
Well, what about the child care centers so you can go out?
But this is entirely a different question. Yes, but even the most progressive child centers is in Israel, the kibbutzim. They're competent women, take over the children, and then when the mothers return from work, they take them home. So they have a home life too.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the child away entirely, you kill some humanness in them.
Well, like you said, you were real active. That this was in New York, and then did you get married in New York?
No, here.
Here, you got married here.
Yeah.
And you had to stay home and take care of your children.
At that time, I took it for granted. And let me tell you, some women like to take care of their children. They don't want to give them away.
Mm-hmm. But it did stop you from you know, being active and fighting for
women. No, it stopped me from earning a living, helping my husband. But it did not stop me from being active.
Uh-huh.
My husband came home, I quit.
Oh, and then
and luckily he liked to stay home in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was life like in 1920?
In 1920, it was Los Angeles was just emerging.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as it is today. Industry came in gradually.
Mm-hmm.
The garment workers, before they didn't have a big market here, and it didn't take no time that Los Angeles was the biggest garment center west of New York.
Were you participating in it and the garment workers at this time?
Oh yes.
How did they organize? That's what I'm trying to. How did women get together to organize? I mean, they were there working, but okay. So you had your leader. Who was the dominant organizer here?
Men.
Men were. What about, like, Benjamin Schlesinger?
Oh, he was in New York. He was a president. In his youth, he was a worker. He comes from the ranks.
But the men actually got the women to organize?
Yeah, the men helped because they had the experience for many years organizing. Mm-hmm. After all, the International Ladies Garment Workers Union is about 80, 75 years when they began to organize.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just, Johnny came lately.
Yeah. Well, let's see, I have this, in the early 1900s, the first, there was, before the Chicago strike.
Yeah.
People were out of work in New York.
Yeah.
Right.
The Triangle Fire, did you hear about the Triangle Fire?
No. Would you tell me? Where was that?
This was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The Triangle Fire, it was a sweatshop.
Mm-hmm.
And women, primarily women, they worked all hours there. And they didn't have, the inspectors did not investigate it, so to make a long story short, they locked the doors.
People burned out.
They burned about 200 women. They burned, they jumped from the windows. This mm-hmm. gave a push to organize. Then, some of the organizers that as little as the war, they went to Washington to insist that a more rigid inspection should be in the shops, the way the war at that time, just like Mother Jones fought for better conditions in the mines. They were trapped there like animals.
Were you involved in that too?
Oh, no.
No,
I was not involved.
I see.
No.
But that did start it. You think that's what did start it?
Yeah,
well, how were conditions in factories here when you began?
My, in comparison with the triangle.
Well, wait. You started in New York, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then you came here to the garment workers.
I came here to the garment workers.
So were conditions better here than they were in New York? Why? Because people were what?
And first of all, they had more room for factories. They weren't so congested. And then organizers came here. And most of the manufacturers were workers. They used to fight, say, who the hell are you? I remember when you were a bum operator. You couldn't even make a straight seat. That was the bus.
Were children working at the same time you were?
Not here, not in New York, not at that time.
Were you fighting that when you
were... Oh, my, sure, child labor. Mm-hmm. Why did they want a child labor? They gave bundles in the house, and the mothers made the children help them.
Mm-hmm.
Child labor was in its visual form in the mines, in the cannabis. I would suggest that you try. I have a book, Mother Jones. Someone took it and they never returned.
Mother Jones?
Mother Jones,
mm-hmm.
Yes. This will give you an idea the labor conditions of war in America, especially in the mines.
Okay. I'll try to get that book. See? There's a picture of a...
Oh, yes.
Is that
here.
Really?
Yes, remember we spoke about Van Wyk?
Uh-huh.
Here she's carrying the bundles.
And that's, she's taking that home?
Taking this home. A young woman carries a bundle of clothing to her home where she will work on it. The other members of her family. Remember we were
talking about that.
Yeah.
But did you do that? You were fighting against doing something like that. I see. Well, all right. Let's see if we could, now here's a cotton garment workers on strike in 1933.
Oh, that's a different story.
Yeah, that was. But they were still fighting for that.
Now they have a problem with the Chicanos, those that come over from the wet beds. They undermine our industry. Not only do they work for pitiful wages, they come illegally, they're not examined, they bring venereal diseases here.
But don't you want to fight, like if you're going to fight for people's rights, I think, you know, our system causes that. Now if you're going to fight for women's rights, don't you want to fight, wouldn't that include those type of people?
No, we want them to come in legally here.
Legally.
Legally, just as we all came in legally here. At that time was Ellis Island. We were detained there.
Were you there?
Oh, yes.
How were the conditions there?
Well, I didn't find it there. Perhaps I came second place. But still, I had to wait. The doctor came and examined me. At that time, they didn't take blood tests.
They didn't take blood tests.
They didn't. They listened to the heart. Tuberculosis was the rage at that time. That's all. Here they come in with all the venereal diseases. And in no time, they kill our industry.
I see. So you're involved in trying to fight against that now. Do you think in 1920, like in the 1920s, women were like less public, less political, outwardly, and more individual?
Oh, yeah. They
but why?
They weren't. Don't forget, for thousands of years, a woman has been brought up that her place is home.
Did you believe that?
No, I didn't believe in that.
And the women you worked with?
Yeah, the women, yeah. But the majority, they wanted to look feminine, to look nice, to please, and then how... Yeah, let me tell you, Helen, when I look at the young girls now, I don't know, they get acquainted in the morning and they go to bed at night.
Oh, yes. You mean...
Yes.
And
they don't care how they dress. There is no romance in today's youth.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any.
And there was then.
Yes.
Well, that was courting, though.
Courting, yes.
And you think that's important?
Into thousands and thousands, it was important, and I still believe that a young girl and a boy shouldn't go to bed like animals. Get acquainted in the morning and at night they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Look how syphilis is prevalent now, gonorrhea.
Well, but when do you think that all started? I mean, it didn't start just now in the 70s.
Especially now it went with such a speed. Liberation is hard to take.
Well, what about, do you remember the Bohemian Circles in, I think that was in New York?
In New York, okay. Oh yeah, the Bohemians,
There were a lot of unmarried women at that time who were, I guess you'd call them promiscuous today, even then.
Listen.
I want to know how wide the sexual revolution was around that time.
You don't think so? No, if some people did live together, it was undercover. Here there was a code amongst the anarchists.
Mm-hmm.
They did not believe in marriage, in legal marriage they did, but there was an ethic in it. They had children, the men had responsibility.
But what was the woman's responsibility?
And if she stayed at home, it was to raise the children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Someone has to raise the children. In a way, I don't blame her. Let a man go to work and bring in the bacon.
Would you like that, though? No.
I don't believe to a feminine man.
Mm-hmm.
You do something to him. That you put on the apron and push him in the kitchen. And she goes out to work.
Okay, well, you were a mother and raised two children and, you know, a wife, and you were also working and you were also, you know, active. I mean, you had to have some worth of yourself, you know, in comparison. And didn't you feel, how did you feel about yourself during that
time? I felt very important.
And why?
Yeah, I felt very important because I took interest in social events.
Like what?
We've spoken about it. Organizations.
No, but see, what I'm trying to get is, what exactly were you doing within these organizations, you know?
We are trying to organize, speak to people, to workers.
And did they listen? I mean, did they understand?
I'll tell you. I hope that you get me right. In this way. You are not Jewish. Huh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You see, when we Jewish young people came from Russia, we were imbued with idealism and socialism. It was foreign to us when someone spoke to us about the union.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted it. Therefore, in these trades, the garment workers, the neckfell workers, they listened. With whom did we have trouble in the shops there? With the non-Jewish girls.
But people that weren't immigrants.
They were all immigrants.
Oh, they were all?
All immigrants.
I see. But
All immigrants.
I see. But you're just saying the ones that didn't have a Jewish background.
It was difficult to organize.
Mm-hmm.
It was, the Italians were more flexible.